Welcome to the Sermon Podcast from St. Andrew's Lutheran Church in Columbia, Missouri. Here are this week's scripture readings and the sermon.
To the land that he promised on oath to their ancestors, where am I to get meat to give to all of those people? Or they come with you to me and
say, give us meat to eat. I am not able to carry all this people alone, for they are too heavy for me. If this is the way you are going to treat me, put me to death at once, if I have found favor in your sight, and do not let me see my misery. So the Lord said to Moses, gather for me 70 of the elders of Israel, whom you know to be the elders of the people and officers over them. Bring them to the tent of meeting, and have them take their place there with you. So Moses went out and told the people the words of the Lord, and he gathered 70 elders of the people and placed them all around the tent. Then the Lord came down in the cloud and spoke to him and took some of the spirit that was on him and put it on the 70 elders. And when the spirit rested upon them, they prophesied, but they did not do so again. Two men remained in the camp, one named Eldad and the other named Medad, and the spirit rested on them, and they were among those registered, but they had not gone out to the tent, and so they prophesied in the camp. And a young man ran and told Moses, Eldad and Medad are prophesying in camp. And Joshua, son of Nun, the assistant of Moses, one of his chosen men, said, my lord Moses, stop them. But Moses said to him, are you jealous for my sake? Would that all the Lord's people were prophets, and that the Lord would put his spirit on them. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Let us read a portion of Psalm 19 responsively. The teaching of the Lord is perfect and revives the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure and gives wisdom to the simple. The fear of the Lord is clean and endures forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. By them also is your servant enlightened, and keeping them there is great reward. Above all, keep your servant from presumptuous sins. Let them not get dominion over me. Then shall I be whole and sound and innocent of a great offense.
Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable unto you, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer.
The New Testament reading comes from the book of James. Are any among you suffering? They should pray. Are any cheerful? They should sing songs of praise. Are any among you sick? They should call for the elders of the church and have them pray over them, anointing them with oil in the name of the Lord. The prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise them up, and anyone who has committed sins will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another, so that you may be healed. The prayer of the righteous is powerful and effective. Elijah was a human being like us, and he prayed fervently that it might not rain. And for 3 years and 6 months, it did not rain on the earth. Then he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth yielded its harvest. My brothers and sisters, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and is brought back by another, you should know that whoever brings back a sinner from wandering will save the sinner's soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 9th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
John said to Jesus, teacher, we saw someone casting out demons in your name, and we tried to stop him because he was not following us. But Jesus said, "Do not stop him, for no one who does a deed of power in my name will be able soon afterward to speak evil of me. For whoever is not against us is for us. For truly I tell you, whoever gives you a cup of water to drink because you bear the name of Christ will by no means lose the reward. If any of you put a stumbling block before one of these little ones who believe in me, it would be better for you than if a great millstone were hung around your neck and you were thrown into the sea. If your hand causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life maimed than to have two hands and go to hell, to the unquenchable fire. And if your foot causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life lame than to have two feet and to be thrown into hell. And if your eye causes you to stumble, tear it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than to have two eyes and to be thrown into hell, where the worm never dies and the fire is never quenched. For everyone will be salted with fire. Salt is good, but if salt has lost its saltiness, how can you season it? Have salt in yourselves and be at peace with one another." The Gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
What a text to get for the first sermon after getting called someone, right? We hear about exorcism, and then it cuts to jealousy, and then the cutting off of hands and feet and gouging out of eyes. And quite frankly, it's a lot. It's a lot to reflect on and to figure out exactly what do you talk about, because it's precisely so shocking. Why would Jesus say something like that? Why would Jesus ever implore us to cut off a hand, a foot, or remove an eye? It's shocking and hard to hear and understand. But it's precisely because of the fact it was shocking that Jesus said it. The disciples simply weren't getting what he was saying at the time, and he wanted to pull the conversation to a grinding halt, to force them to stop focusing on what they thought was true and instead focus on what he was saying. In some ways, it's to cause the head to turn. And I think that we often forget exactly how radical Jesus truly was in his time. He was someone who caused disruption where he went. He flipped the tables in the temple and healed on the Sabbath. And in pulling this conversation to a grinding halt, Jesus invites us. He invites us to think about what exactly he is saying in a very active way instead of a passive way. Feet can make us wander to places we should not go. Hands can make us reach for that which we shouldn't. Eyes can make us look at others in ways we shouldn't. The undercurrent of these things is that we cause ourselves to stumble through actions that harm others. This passage, this statement that we cut off our hand, foot, or gouge out our eyes is not to be taken literally. It's an invitation. It's an invitation from Jesus to self-reflect on our own actions and how they impact those around us. This invitation is paralleled in the reading from James, when in verse 16, we are implored to confess our sins to one another and pray for one another. We are called to hold ourselves accountable lest we put a stumbling block in front of others. We do an order of confession and forgiveness every week at the beginning of service. And it's a manifestation of this belief that we need to hold ourselves and each other accountable. The actions of confession and the forgiveness gives us an important template for how we interact with others. We will cause offense to others through our words, actions, and yes, non-actions. When these offenses are named, cutting off our hand, our foot, or gouging out our eyes is about self-reflection. And it's that self-reflection that leads us to confession and hopefully forgiveness. Mark closes out today's gospel lesson with a challenge to be at peace with one another. And this can only be done through the self-reflection that Jesus calls us to in this passage. For in verse 38, Jesus tells us that what happens is that this self-reflection doesn't occur, the fire is never quenched. The Greek translated here as fire figuratively means trials, the challenges that we face on a day-to-day basis. For those to never be quenched, it means we will never find peace in our community as we are called to do by Jesus at the end. Once we understand that we are called to be at peace with our community, it begs the question, well, who exactly is our community that we're meant to be at peace with? Again, today's passages give us a little bit of clarity on this end. And we see this tension at the beginning of the gospel lesson. John sees others casting out demons in Jesus' name. He tells Jesus the person simply won't stop, and they're not part of our group. We see John drawing a line, those who follow Jesus and those who do not. Jesus, in turn, turns to him and says, really? That's what we're going to focus on? And then goes on to talk about how those who are not against us are for us. Jesus challenges us in how we see others that are not in our group. It is a challenge to see beyond our community walls of St. Andrew's Lutheran Church, to see God at work in the world through others. But it's important to do so. For one group cannot do it all. There is too much suffering in the world. We are dependent upon one another to help bring God's realms, God's desires, God's promises to the here and the now. This is displayed in the first reading, in the Numbers reading, where two outside the gathering of 70 are prophesying in the camp, and Moses proudly proclaims the Spirit of the Lord is on them. This invitation in the reading speaks to us on how we are to live and treat one another, both inside and outside our community. This invitation is expanded upon inside the psalm, where we hear an invitation and then the grace that goes along with it. The teachings of the Lord revives our soul. The lessons that the Lord gives us wisdom. The statutes of the Lord grant us gladness to the heart. The commandments of the Lord shine in our light as a light in our lives. The reverence of the Lord lasts forever, and the judgments of the Lord are just. These promises and words of grace tell us exactly who God is. Jesus came to humanity to further solidify our relationship with God. God seeks to meet us where we are. Jesus was born, crucified, died, and was buried, and then resurrected by the power of the Holy Spirit to reconcile us to God. This reconciliation is how God meets you where you are. For without God meeting us where we are, we cannot do the self-reflection. We cannot see beyond our own communities. We cannot be God's presence in the world. It would simply not be possible. For without God meeting us where we are, being in community, in peace especially, would be harder than it already is. And it's already quite hard, right? Being in community is tough. And having peace is even harder. And without God meeting us where we are, it would be impossible. For without God meeting us where we are, we would get even further stuck in the us versus them mentality that seems to pervade our world right now. So while the passage today gives us a lot to think about, gives us some shocking moments, I invite you to take a step back. Self-reflect on what is going on. See God at work in the world. Receive the grace that has been freely given. And receive the peace that God so desperately wishes to give us.
Thank you for listening. You are welcome to join St. Andrew's Lutheran Church in Columbia, Missouri for worship any weekend. More information can be found at saintandrewslutheran.org. That's saintandrewslutheran.org. Have a glorious week.